God can satisfy. Thank you. Praise God. Angus.
I've got my brightly coloured shirt on today because I thought you might not be able to see me otherwise. I know I'm not really tall. Oh, that is working, yeah. Sorry, I wasn't sure if that was working or not. Oop. Just trying to get my bits of paper in order. Probably missing one. In fact, I am missing one of my bits of paper. Never mind. I have to make do without it. Now, there it is. Right, good. Okay, so I don't know how many people enjoy walking up a hill, hill walking. Anybody, hands up if you like going walking up hills? Not mountains. I'm just talking about hills. I don't know if anybody's ever had a shock when they went walking up a hill. When I was a student, I went to Ireland with a friend of mine, Mike, and we thought we'd go for a walk up a mountain, Irish mountain, about sort of a little bit less high than Mount Snowdon in the Wicklow Mountains. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. And so we had to walk along a lake, quite a long way, and then up this mountain. And we had a tent with us because we were going to camp there overnight. And we got up to the top really quite quickly. It seemed like 2.5 hours or something, and we were at the top. You know, it was sort of mid-morning, and we were expecting it would have taken us a lot longer. And, you know, we were really quite pleased with ourselves. So we put the tent up. We got the little camping stove out and the saucepan, managed to fill it up with some spring water or something. Not stagnant water, I don't think it was. And might have been slightly brown in colour, I'm not sure. But, and you know, then I thought, well, I'll make a cup of tea. And I went into my rucksack to get the box of matches, and I couldn't find them. So there we were, stuck at the top of a mountain, you know, with our tent up and wanting something hot. You know, like in the evening, we're going to need something hot. So the only thing for it was to walk all the way down the mountain again, all the way along the lake, and that's what we did. And we went to the little shop in the village, bought a box of matches. What do we do next? Walk all the way along the lake, all the way up the mountain again. By which time it was sort of late afternoon, I think. And, you know, so we made our cup of tea. I think we probably cooked the baked beans or whatever we got and settled down. I think I must have gone back to my rucksack to poke around and find something else. And guess what? Lo and behold, a second box of matches. So, a shock. I don't think my friend Mike felt like talking to me for several days. Well, one day Jesus took three of his friends up a mountain. I'm not sure what they were expecting, but they got a real shock too. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Well, I think it's the beginning of Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And they got a shock. His appearance was changed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And then Moses and Elijah appeared, and they were talking to Jesus. Peter started gabbling. He didn't really know what to say or do. You know, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three sacred tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter didn't really know what he was talking, just sort of felt he had to say something. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were afraid. Not surprising. Jesus came to them, touched them, and said, "Get up, do not be afraid." And lifting their eyes, they saw no one with them except Jesus. The others had gone. I guess the cloud had gone. Just them and Jesus again. But yet, how much that must have changed their view of Jesus. Up till then, they'd known him as a wonderful friend, a leader, a teacher, someone who seemed to know God well, a man who was kind, who was compassionate, who was interested in the poor, a man who could heal people, and so forth. But from then on, they saw him as in a different light. Surely, you know, from then on, they saw him. He was the They'd got a taste of the risen Lord Jesus before his death. What's interesting, one of the things that's interesting about that story is that it's mentioned in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, but not in John. And John was one of those three disciples, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, but not in the Gospel of John. He didn't write about it. Interesting, isn't it? But they must have thought about that. They must have, you know, when they were in bed at night, just remembered, gosh, we were up the mount, we saw his face shone like the sun, his clothes were white. He's not just a man, he's God. But John did write about just seeing Jesus in all his glory, the risen Lord, in a second experience that he had after Jesus had died and risen again. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 1. And what's interesting is to see the similarity between that description of Jesus and the description of him up on the mountain. So look in Revelation chapter 1, about halfway through. John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a sound of a trumpet. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw there was one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, girded across his chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it's been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword." A bit more detail and things going on there than up the mountain. But this one, "His face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first, the last, the living one. And I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore.'" Just like on the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus' face shone like the sun, and John fell to his face again. And again, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." What does it tell us about Jesus? You know, where is he now? He's risen in power. He's still a loving, forgiving Jesus, our Savior. But he's also Jesus, our Lord, who has all power and authority and needs to be obeyed. Almighty God, with the power to cast into hell, and loving, gentle Jesus, are one and the same. We have to respond to Jesus. The other day, we have a brunch, a men's brunch on a Friday, and we were reading as well as talking, having a nice time together. Men need to get together and chat, and encourage some other guys to come and join us if you're free on a Friday. But we also read the Bible. We were looking in Luke. Luke, I think it was. And there it mentioned that the Pharisees, they were talking about John the Baptist, and they were saying that John the Baptist was rejected by the Pharisees. Yeah, the ordinary people accepted him. And it says there that the Pharisees missed God's purpose for themselves. That's a terrible thing to happen, isn't it? Do you want to miss God's purpose for yourself? I don't think so. But yet the world is divided into two. You know, those people who know Jesus and those who are missing God's purpose for themselves. Those who are born again and those who aren't born again, who don't know the Lord. You know, we have to respond to Jesus. Think of Jesus on the cross. Why was he there? Because of our sins. Because of the sins of the people. He went there to carry the sins of the people, to pay for the sins of the people, so that people could be set free, could know a relationship with God, be forgiven, go to heaven. And in fact, in Acts, when Peter was talking about Jesus, he said, "This Jesus, who you crucified, has risen again." You know, I have to recognize that my sin put Jesus on that cross. And so there's a response required, isn't there, from all of us. Yeah, either we reject God's purpose for ourselves, or we say, "Jesus, you died for me. My sins put you there." We have to repent. We have to begin by repenting. "I'm sorry, God, that it was you. I want to change. I want to turn away from all of that." And we have to believe. We have to trust in Jesus. And one more thing I would say, we need to receive him into our hearts. In John chapter 1, it talks about those that didn't want to know him, but it says that those who received him, he gave them the power to become children of God. And I know that most of us maybe, you know, you have made that step, you've taken that step, but there may be people here, you haven't taken that step yet. You don't know that Jesus is living within you. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. Maybe you need to get right with God. Repent, believe, receive him, ask him into your life. And I would encourage you to do that today, because I think we've already quoted, today is the day of salvation. Peter, interestingly enough, was a bit different from John, because he wrote about the mountain experience. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, or you can look at it, or I'll read it anyway. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is, again, after Jesus died, but Peter wrote about the mountain experience in the letter he wrote to the churches. And he said, "We didn't make up these tales. We didn't follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You know, Peter says, "Look, you've got to believe me. I saw all of this." And he says, "When he received honor and glory from God the Father, this utterance was made about him by the majestic glory, by God. 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain.'" You know, how fantastic it is that we've got the Bible to read. We can know about Jesus because people like Peter, John, they wrote about it. They had this firsthand experience of him. They knew him. They told us all of these things. We can trust them because they were prepared to die for what they believed in. Peter also wrote in the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 8, and he says, "Though you have not seen him, You love him and believe in him. And he's writing to the Christians. And he understood, you know, look, I've had a special experience. I knew Jesus personally. I touched him, held hands with him. I spoke to him. He spoke to me. I was up that mountain. I know you haven't had that experience, but you love him too. And it's true that, as it says in John's gospel, you know, there was doubting Thomas, yeah? He said, until I see, I will not believe. And Jesus turned up for him and said, here I am, see me, touch me. You know, these scars in my hands. But Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen but have believed. And we're like that, aren't we? We didn't see these things firsthand. But God gives us the opportunity to have faith in him and to believe. He's our Lord. But we love him. We can love him. You know, if we're born again, we have that relationship with him. And we love him. And it's important that we enjoy that relationship that we have. We enjoy the love that we have with Jesus. Kev Brown and I have got something in common. Going bald. Glasses in our 60s. But also we like bird watching. I've just been to Costa Rica. That's why I'm wearing this lovely shirt. Kev just been on an exotic holiday to New Zealand and Fiji. And we were talking about the birds that we'd seen and so forth. And I was saying, actually, you know, I don't use my binoculars so much nowadays as I used to. In fact, I soon, you know, if I go to Nicaragua again, I don't think I'll even take my binoculars, because when I did, they thought I was a spy. You know, the customs people, the passport people were not happy about this at all. But anyway, what I do is I still, you know, like to see birds, but often you can't see them. You probably know this, but you can hear them. And there's an app which you may be aware of, which you can get on your phone, called Mandatans, to the birds that are around. And it will identify and tell you what's there. And, you know, it works. And so going to Costa Rica, I probably saw, I don't know, maybe 50 different species, but I probably heard 100 different because of the app. And so I like listening to the birds too. And with the help of this app, you know, it trains your ear. Well, that reminds me about Jesus on the mountain. Because what did God say to him? What did God say to Peter, James, and John? On the mountain, when God the Father spoke, he said of Jesus, this is my beloved son. He'd already said that, actually, when he was baptized. But he added this time, listen to him. And we can train our ear. Oh, that's nice. So, you know, how can we listen to God? How can we hear from God? Another question, do you want to hear from God? Really? Hearing from God brings responsibility. Okay, you know, it's lovely to hear from God, isn't it? When he's got something nice to say. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 21. If we hear from God, we have to be ready to respond to what God's saying, to obey if he asks us to do something. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. I think we've heard about that this morning already, you know, about the stagnant ponds, and Bill was mentioning exactly this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, but then he goes away and is immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Yeah, you can hear from God, oh, right, that's nice, and forget it. But whoever looks intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and lives by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this person shall be blessed in what they do. You know, when we hear from God, we have to respond in some way. We have to take that on board. Faith without works is dead. You know, we can believe, oh, that's lovely, I believe this. Are we going to act on it? We have to. Are we going to step out in faith, having done that reading? So, you know, do we want to hear from God? It's not always quite what we want to hear. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah heard from God very clearly. Go to Nineveh. Where did Jonah go? Got on a boat to Tarshish, the opposite direction. He didn't want to do what God said and ended up nearly dying in the sea and, you know, being swallowed by a fish, etc. When I was a child, I heard the story of young Samuel in the temple. And I remember, you know, aged about 6 or 7, being really excited about that story and thinking how wonderful it would be to actually hear God speaking to me in an out loud voice. And, you know, I still do. I think that's an absolutely wonderful thing. But when God did speak to Samuel and Samuel listened, there was a very difficult message that God had given to him. It wasn't an easy, you know, message that he had to take on board and listen to. So hearing from God may not be just listening to some nice, encouraging things. Sometimes it is. Or even getting important direction from God. That's important. That does happen too. But we might have to face up to being corrected or needing to make some changes. One of the best ways to hear from God is to read the Bible. And in the Bible, 2 Timothy, one of Paul's letters, 2 Timothy 3:16, it talks about that. And it says, all scripture, the whole Bible, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, telling us off, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be complete. God wants to speak to us, and he has a purpose for us, but he wants us to be prepared to respond, to make some changes. And he's got a good plan so that we would become complete, be trained. So, you know, I would say that very strongly, despite the correction side of things, we do want to hear from God. After all, Jesus was quoting the Old Testament when he spoke to the devil, and he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We need food, don't we? Yeah? Does God know that we need food? Yeah. He says, you know, told us the Lord's Prayer. Give us our daily bread. And he said that because he wants to provide for us. But in the same way, he wants to provide us with the word of God, the daily word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by hearing from God on a daily basis, I believe. And it's a good idea to develop the habit of having a quiet time with God. And, you know, I don't want to be teaching, was it grannies to suck eggs or whatever? But, you know, I want to talk about this for a minute or two because I think it's a really important thing that we have our personal devotional time with God because it's a way that we train our ear to hear from God. So I strongly recommend having what I call a quiet time, and I would recommend having it with God early in the day each day. And I'm talking about something like 20 minutes. The most important and consistent way to hear from God is through reading God's word, reading the Bible. So in the first part of my time with God each day, I read a chapter of the Bible, or maybe just part of a chapter. And it takes about 10 minutes. So what do we do with the reading? go away, get in the car, go to work, forget about it? No. Okay, so that's what we shouldn't do. We have to take some initiative. You know, we don't want to be like James said and walk away and forget it. We need to think it through, mull it over. Find out, well, what does this mean? You might need to look up some notes. Some Bibles have got little notes written at the bottom of the page to help explain things. But is there something from that reading that I can apply to my life today? And this is where I begin really listening to God. Because I believe it's not just me thinking this through, but I'm relying on and trusting that the Holy Spirit is working in me, helping me to notice the things that I need and that are important for me for the day. And if you look at John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16, I'm not going to quote all of that, but he talks about the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit who would be coming and has come now, and I believe, you know, is in us as believers. And he said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. He said, you will have the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit within you will be a witness about Jesus. So often as I read a bit of the Bible, I feel God is speaking to me through the Holy Spirit and highlighting maybe just one sentence or a phrase for me to focus on and apply that to my life for that day. For example, on Friday, I was reading in Philippians, and it was just the phrase, you know, rejoice in the Lord, that really stood out as what I felt God was particularly saying to me. So that's the first 10 minutes of the time, you know, you read the Bible and you think it over and ask God to help you to, what's the word from the word for me today, God? But in the second 10 minutes of my quiet time, then I start talking. I'm praying. I'm speaking to God. Basically, I follow a procedure which is called ACTS, A-C-T-S. And, you know, I'm just recommending this as a way of having your quiet time. Obviously, there are different ways of doing it, but having your devotional time, this is what works for me. A stands for adoration or worship, okay? So how could I start speaking to God? I could say, God, please bless me. I need this. I need that, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not the right way to start. You know, we have to start from God's point of view. We have to start listening to him as we've done in the Bible and thinking it through, but also adoration, worship him, thanking him for who he is. I start by praising him, recognizing he's in control, worthy of my love. I praise him for building my faith through what I've just read in the Bible. It's a positive way to start rather than my needs. Acts, A, adoration. C is for confession. Or repentance, shall we say. You know, I ask God to show me anything pleasant to my, you know, I pray about it and ask God to help me to put it right, you know. James again said, you know, we have to submit to God. And then we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. You know, the devil is after us. He doesn't like us. He wants to destroy our Christian faith, bring doubt, bring mess in our lives. I don't want him to be master over me, so I submit to God. So confession's an important part of it. Being prepared to be corrected. A-C-T. T is for thanksgiving. So I praise God. I thank him for the things that he's done, for the answers to prayer. Thank him for who he is, knowing that this builds my faith and that he will answer my prayers when I start praying again. And so the last one, the S, is for supplication, which is another way of saying praying or asking God for things. And so, you know, that's when I talk to God about my day, issues in my life, people that I feel, because the Holy Spirit is prompting me to pray for, and how to pray for them. So I believe that a quiet time is our basic regular communication time with God. And in doing that, we can learn to hear his voice and learn to respond to the Holy Spirit. And springing out of having that quiet time relationship with God, I begin to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Holy Spirit within me, prompting me during the day, maybe to pray, to listen to him. Often, God brings back scriptures to my mind. And I believe that in our meetings, whether it's a prayer meeting or a worship meeting like this, where we are wanting to listen to God and hear what he wants to say, God will prompt us in the same way by the Holy Spirit. The other day, we had a leaders' meeting. We were talking about this, and people were saying about the first time, or one of the first times they felt God wanted them to stand up in a meeting and say something, like John brought us a prophecy. Now, you know, it takes confidence and guts to be able to do that and to feel that that was from God. And Steve Corr was telling us about when we had a meeting, 200 or 300 people, and he really felt God was telling him, stand up and say this thing. Can't remember what it was. And he was a bit worried about it because didn't want to say anything wrong or things like that. Anyway, while he was still thinking it through, I think Max Keyser stood up and said exactly what Steve had been going to say. A training point for Steve to learn, you know, yeah, you were on the right track. That was the voice of God. It's something we can learn to do. We need to train our ear. I know I've had the same experience myself in meetings. Sometimes felt God's given me something to say, but I think it through. Is this, you know, what's my reason, my motive for saying this? Is it something I was already worried about or something? Or is it something I really feel God's bringing to the meeting that might bless someone? Sometimes I'd go and talk to the leader, the person who's running the meeting, just talk it through. Generally, I believe that your heart is thumping and you've got a bit of a tingling and you know you've got to go and say that word. So why is it important for us to hear from God? One of the most important reasons is, I think it's been quoted this morning, faith comes from hearing the word of God. It says that in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 17, worth reading that. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. And although I believe it's still the main way that God speaks to us, God doesn't always speak just through the Bible. Sometimes, for special reasons, he speaks in very special ways, like he did to young Samuel in the temple. I'm glad, lovely to see my daughter Amy here with her boys. And when Amy was just a little girl, her mum, Pam, was 33 at the time, and she heard God speaking to her in an out loud voice. She was actually with a consultant surgeon who had just told her that she had a massive tumor and it was going to kill her. I was in the room and I nearly fainted with shock. But Pam seemed calm and collected. And afterwards she told me that for her the room had faded away and the consultant and so forth. And she'd heard God speaking to her in a clear voice saying, don't look to man, look to me. Well, Pam went on to live for 6 more years, far more than the doctors had predicted. And she suffered pain and had a difficult time and ultimately died of that illness. But I do believe that God was speaking to her at the time. And this was at the start of things, speaking in that way, don't look to man, look to me. It gave her the faith to focus on Jesus, to trust in him, and to know that he was going to be with her through it all. As Jesus taught us in John 14, 15, and 16, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us, to teach us, to be a witness in us, to open up God's word, to help us to listen to him. As I said, in a daily quiet time, we can learn to listen and focus especially on God's word. But God speaks to us in other ways too. You know, 1 Corinthians talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we benefit greatly from hearing a clear prophecy like we heard from John this morning, or a word of knowledge, or an interpretation to tongues. God can speak through dreams. Yeah? What about thinking in the Bible? Joseph in the Old Testament, working for Pharaoh, he had dreams, didn't he? Moses had dreams. Jacob had dreams. Daniel had dreams. In the New Testament, Joseph, the father of stepfather of Jesus, had dreams. Paul had dreams. You know, God can speak in that way too. Let us focus on learning to listen to the witness of the Holy Spirit. But also, you know, when God speaks, we have to respond. He's expecting us to listen. So just a reminder, you know, that he's our Lord, not just our Savior, but our Lord. But we can love him. And also, as Jesus, as God said on the mountain, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." We have to be ready to listen and respond, to step out in faith, trusting in what we've heard, to obey. Yeah? He's our Lord, we're his servants. Amen.
Thank you, Angus. Very clear word from the Lord this morning, isn't it? Yeah. This is my son. Listen to him. And when you listen, act. You know, that's really sums up this morning. And Steve's just reminded me, you know, I started the meeting with by saying, you know, come buy and what money can't buy. And so, you know, we've heard the word of the Lord. We've heard a very clear message from God this morning saying, you know, if it just all builds up in your heart, it stagnates. Let's have an outlet. Let's expect a change. Let's apply his word. Let's listen to his beloved son. He's a God that never changes, still his beloved son, and we still need to listen. But when we listen, we need to act. And when we act, we need to expect change. Okay, so if that's resonated is the right word, isn't it? Resonated with you. Own heart and spirit, first thing we need to do is respond, isn't it? So let's have an opportunity to respond this morning. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to close, and you can have a cup of coffee, but if you really want to respond to what you feel the Lord saying to you, come up front and we'll pray. And I'm sure if I ask Angus and Steve and myself and the other leaders here, then we'll join with you, okay? So let's just do that. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a gracious God. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us so clearly, so plainly. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you want us to enjoy our walk with you. And I thank you, Father, that we're not just fighting through the fog, but you give us words of clarity. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that our heart's response will be, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me." I pray, Lord Jesus, that our hearts will be open to you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us just to clear that fog, that we will hear clearly, that we will see your direction. But Lord, as we take those first steps this morning, as we respond to what you've said this morning, I pray, Lord Jesus, that there will be a mighty work done, that there would be real clarity. So Lord, I do thank you again for your presence with us this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've said. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to respond to your word. Thank you, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, now your blessing on us all gathered here before you. So clear in your sight, so clearly in your presence. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as we go through this week ahead, that we would be so aware of your presence with us, that we will see the living God at work. And I say, Lord, what a blessing that is. And that's the blessing I pray over our church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. So, yeah, we will be here if you want to just respond to that. Thank you.